Good evening, brethren. It's good to come back to the house of the Lord to worship Him, to pray, to sing praises and to pray. Now I realize how good it is to sit down there. Pastor Mark stands up here. So it's my turn to speak on Psalm 5. Let us turn to Psalm 5, the 12 verses altogether. To the chief musician upon Nihilo, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, for thy truth, and even for psalms that thou hast given to us, to teach us in thy ways. We thank thee for this Psalm 5, and we pray that thou will open our hearts to understand the truth. May thou cleanse us by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we come, and may thy blessing of thy word fill our hearts, that we may, together with David, able to experience thy closeness. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. As written here, it is a psalm of David, and it is a prayer of David. King David, who is he? He is the anointed king of Israel. And tonight, as we come together to pray, may we learn from King David, who is regarded by God as a man after his own heart. I'm sure all of us remember how God said, God says that he is a man after my own heart. Well, I'm not going to talk about how David grew up as a young boy, and he fought the bears and the lions, and he fought Goliath and the Philistines, and how Samuel anointed him to be king even as a little boy. His father has got 7 kids and he's the 8th. Now that he is king and he faces many difficulties in life, King Saul is not happy with him and persecuted him, and probably now he's faced more persecution. The first to the fourth psalm that we have studied contrasted between the righteous and the unrighteous, and so it is the same with this psalm. David is contrasting himself, who made by God's grace, and also contrasting it with the wicked who opposed him. He is probably undergoing the persecution of his son Absalom. because the last Psalm, the 3 and 4, does say that. But people are not very sure. The commentators, some said it might be because of the persecution of King Saul, and now that he is okay and he's tried to write the Psalm when he was, how he was going through the persecution. Absalom, you know, tried to kill him in order to take over his throne. So this psalm is divided into two parts, the first to the 7th verse, and then from the 8th to the 12 verses, altogether 12 verses. And in both of these, he's asking God to listen to his prayers. And the psalm opened up with verse 1. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray." The first thing for us, when we face persecution, we need to approach God in prayer. Now David, he called upon God for help. In many things, men cannot help us. They can pray for you, but the best help ultimately is still God's help. And we need to place prayer as a priority in our life. So this is an example where David reveals to us. He cried to God. God works through prayer. We may be successful in our endeavors. Sometimes we have a lot of things that we want to do. But if it is not of God, it will not last. So make sure we commit all things to the Lord in prayer if we want our successes to last. David prayed. We see here that he prayed aloud, right? He prayed with words, and then he prayed with words, and he cried. In crying, he also prayed silently in his meditation. But the most important thing is, in our prayer, is to have a prayerful heart. Whether when we pray or we are not praying, we should have a prayerful heart towards God. So the heart is where prayer comes out from. And the object of his prayer is the Almighty God, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, his Savior. And of course, when you call upon our King, kings are expected to hear the appeals of their people. And also, it is a very personal prayer. He uses his mind all the time. Mine, my God. And he says, "For unto thee will I pray." And he promised God here that he will continue to pray to God, Yahweh, all his life. Sometimes when we even have no answer, we continue to pray. And this is the attitude of David. He said, "Unto thee will I pray." It's a commitment that he made to God, that he doesn't even pray only once or twice, but he will, throughout his life, he's going to commit his life to Yahweh to pray. Verse 3 says, "My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." Another promise that he made is that he promised to pray in the morning. The first thing in the morning, what do you do? Not only putting prayer as the first priority, but also to be the first thing done in the morning. We wake up, first thing in the morning we should give thanks to God for the new day, and we should lay out all our burdens and our needs to the Lord. We humans are very good at worrying. One thing good that if we worry, you just convert it to prayer. The moment you worry, you said, I pray to God, commit all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you, you know. So we should commit all our burdens and our cares to God, for He knows, and He desires us to let Him know all our needs. So David prayed, he committed his needs, his burdens and his cares to God. On the other hand, he not only just prayed, but he looked up. By looking up, we are in expectancy of an answer from God. Many a times we pray and we just forget it. Even when the answer comes in front of us, we do not know that is the answer from God. God has already answered you. And we miss the opportunity of experiencing God's blessing. So when we pray, we got to look out for answers. Right? Sometimes answers can come from friends, advice. Sometimes answers can come from, you know, all God uses all ways to answer our prayers. So he not only prayed, but he looked to God for answers. Many people say that no, yes, no, or wait is also an answer. Okay? Yes, no, or wait. God wants us to wait. His answer hasn't come. The time is not right for Him to review what He wants you to do, so you just have to wait. So this is also an answer, but we should look up, and when you receive answer from God, we should also have gratitude towards God, to give thanks to God that He has answered your prayer. Pray and give thanks to God, and remember that God has answered your prayer. You know, that's why in the Bible it always stress what God has done to the Jews, the Israel people, answering them in the wilderness, how God took care of them. Always stress that we should remember what God has done during their time in the wilderness. So David, in the same way, he has experienced much of God's protection, preservation. As I mentioned before, he has undergone so many persecutions from King Saul, as well as from Absalom, and also from Goliath. When he confronted Goliath, how God answered his prayer. All these things are in his mind and helped him to pray this sort of prayer to God. And so our personal prayer ought to be the same. We ought to have all the experiences in our Christian life, and I'm sure all of us have your own experience in your Christian life, that God has been with you in times of difficulty, in times of stress, and during times of persecution. Hopefully no, but all of us will face it. I can tell you that as we come to the end days. Right? Just now, our brother SK read on Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12, says that if you are persecuted, you know, bless God, you will be persecuted. But God bless those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. In verse 4, 5, 6, it says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." Here the wicked, mentioned here, evil, foolish, workers of iniquity, lying, bloodthirsty, and deceitful men, they are all condemned by God. And the unrighteous cannot stand before God. These people are the enemies of David and of God. They slandered, they say all kinds of lies against David. We must hate what God hates. Satan's plan is to obstruct the work of God. King David, the anointed of God is being persecuted. As Christians, we may face the same situation in our daily lives. Satan, working through men, will say all kinds of things to slander and to cause trouble, to create discouragement. And all these enemies shall be destroyed. They themselves, as well as their works, or the evil works and the evil people, either they repent now or on the day of judgment, they'll be destroyed. So this is what David is praying about, and he knows God's heart. And that's God's word that says, all the wicked people will be thrown in the lake of fire after the judgment. But as for me, now, he's referring back to himself, he said, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. David recognized that he is not perfect, that his righteousness is of God, who is merciful. Right. No one is perfect. Even as Christians, we do sin. But our righteousness is of God, who is merciful. God is a merciful God. That's why he says, if we sin, we confess our sins to God. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is the God that we have, who is merciful. And once we were also enemies of Christ, before we were Christian, we were all enemies of Christ. It is because of God's mercy that we are saved. So he come to the house of God in the multitude of God's mercy. There is mercy with the Lord. Without it, no one can be saved. He feared God and worshipped toward the holy temple. Now at this time, the temple in Jerusalem was not built. David's son Solomon, when he became king, is appointed by God to build the temple. Yet, in difficult circumstances, we see that David continued to obey and trust God. He says in verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. He seeks God's guidance. We need the guidance of the Lord in our daily lives as we journey through this earth, as we face the years ahead. You know, things are changing. There are many people are more and more evil. He totally depends on God to help him, as it is a spiritual warfare. And unless God intervened, he would never find a way of escape. So he's pleading to God for help, because this is a spiritual warfare, and that's why Jesus came, right, to help us, to give us this the word of God, the armor of God, so that we can defeat, or you can escape the wiles of the devil. Verse 9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Once again, he talked about the ungodly, the character. They are treacherous. They are liars. Because they are of their wicked heart. And their heart is controlled by evil. They flatter with their tongue. People may be convinced by their lies and follow them. Absalom is not alone, obviously. He had many followers supporting him to overthrow David. Today we are facing the situation where the world twisted and suppressed the truth of the Word of God. They say that we are evolved from apes, right? And it's taught in schools. And you look at many of the programs on television, they say that we are evolved in many millions of years. All these are the lies of Satan. Right? They flatter. They make it as if it is the truth, but it is not the truth. And today, on the way here, heard about America, now they're discussing about same-sex marriage. And there's a lot of support now. They're gaining more and more support from people. And since we are democratic people, and the people's power, people's voice is stronger than the voice of God, there's another area. So they're twisting and suppressing the truth of God. The institution of marriage is put down the drain now. Man can marry man legally and get all the rights and everything as a normal married couple. This is exceptional. We are living in very perilous times where people fall into it, and many people say, oh, it's okay, why discriminate, this and that. And they flatter. They say a lot of things that sounds good, but it's actually against the Word of God and against Christ and against God's will for mankind. So in verse 10 it says, destroy thou them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. So David wishes God to lay hand upon his enemies, and he wants God to put a stop to their wicked ways. He was telling God that these enemies rebelled against him, God himself, because God anointed him as king, and somebody tries to usurp the throne, and that is rebellion against God, not only against King David. So he sees God to punish them. In verse 11 and 12, he receives this understanding. He said, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. You see, God is a God of justice. For those that put their trust in God, God will protect them. God protect David all this while through his life experience when he prayed to God, even with Goliath, huge, nobody dared to fight with him, and he won. Now, he says, God, those who love thy name. Now, the name of Jesus, the Bible says, is also, it is above every name. Right? That is the name of God. The name of Jesus. Those who love thy name, those who believe in Jesus Christ, shall rejoice. Now, the righteous will be blessed by God, while the wicked will be destroyed. So, today, as Christians, we can rejoice. That's why in the book of Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Apostle Paul says, we can rejoice because God has, he is the Almighty King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And if we are on his side, he will protect us, he will guide us, he will lead us, no matter what's going through your life. To bless is to wish happiness. Right? He will bless the righteous. To bless is to wish happiness and prosperity to anyone and to pray for him. So may we learn an example from King David, who is a man after God's own heart, to trust and obey God even under dangerous and stressful circumstances, and through prayer seek God's help. Let us pray. Father in heaven, may we learn truly this example of a prayer by King David. We know that many a times when we are in difficulty, when we are persecuted or in trouble, we go to man and we hope that man can help us. But thou hast said that we should come to thee in prayer and commit all our burdens, our needs unto thee. for thou art a God that heareth us. So help us as we pray together this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.